Welcome back to Suddenly I See, a gender toolkit for the Smithers, BC area.
On CICK 93.9 FM.
I'm Laszlo Polgar.
And I'm Christine Bruce.
In the first chapter of the book, Gender Your Guide, Lee explains that there are two major schools of thought about gender and its relationship to biological sex. Gender as a fact and gender as a process. So, we'll talk about the big difference between these schools of thought. Whether gender differences are biological or sociological, as in how we're treated by the people around us, we've called this episode the Gender Reveal Party. And in the spirit of a party, we're hoping to make this fun for everybody.
Yeah!
In the book, Lee makes the point that most of us see gender less as a process like house cleaning, and more as a fact, like whether the house is clean or dirty. We might consider gender to work the same way, as a process in which a person participates, where it's never complete, as opposed to something a person just is, quote-unquote. Lee later makes the point that everyone's gender shifts occasionally in life, even if it's hardly noticeable. Personally, I can say that's definitely true. From my experience, I definitely feel like gender is never really as stagnant as people make it out to be, especially for my own process and everything. Mine has been very fluid, a lot more than others have been, but it's always going to be changing as you like progress. There's this argument, like, oh, gender is a fact, saying like, I know I'm a girl because my birth certificate says so. Somebody looked at my genitalia and decided that I'm a girl, so I must be a woman.
And then everything follows from there, right?
Yeah. But there's so many other aspects of what makes a gender kind of, that whole process, that medical process, is really just biological sex. It never really touches on like how you might perceive yourself later in life or how you're going to be raised. So
well,
your gender is still up in
the air. Internal stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, there may be things inside your body that are signifying a different gender than what is the genitalia on the outside.
Yeah. There's so many different things that a doctor can't check in the first like 10 minutes of your birth, and dulling your entire identity down to just that quick second of a check of someone's genitals is, it's so cut and dry. It doesn't feel like it's enough for how people are and their expression and everything. If you're more of like a gender as a process kind of thinking like I am, your gender can go beyond whether you have any kind of menstruation or if you have a penis. It's more a learning process that's really never complete. Like, you're always finding different ways to express yourself and finding that maybe one year you expressed yourself in a way that you're not really comfortable with anymore. And that can be seen as like, maybe you've changed, but I still think it's just, that was just a part of you that you've like grown from, like that has flourished and is now part of the roots that make you whole and you. It's kind of a conundrum.
Well, when we're talking about the process, I always think about the enormous effort that my parents, my schools, my church, my workplaces helped me to assume that I was a girl. They assumed I was a girl. And so there's this ongoing process of reinforcing that, that I must like dolls then, that I must like to learn to type, that I'm going to want to be in the kitchen all the time. And they're constantly conscripting me to think that way.
Yeah. It's like that whole 5-second decision at your birth just dictates your entire life and how everybody is going to perceive you. And it's so odd that we put each other in that box. Like, we haven't even grown to figure out who we are ourselves, and suddenly everyone's telling us that we should be this way because of how we were born. And I don't know, I just think that's odd.
Well, it is odd.
It is odd. You're not a full-fleshed human being when you're born, so why should we know what gender you are when you're born? Just based off of one thing about your biological makeup. I don't think gender and sex are the same thing at all. If you see gender as a fact, then an F or an M on your birth certificate is just what you are, and that's your gender, and you can't change that. But that's just a piece of information.
And to the point, I have lots of trans friends whose birth certificate does not reflect their gender, and they fight with that all the time.
Yeah. Because of that note on any medical records or personal identification, it's automatically putting you into that box of how somebody is expecting you to be and present. Like, if I were to go up to the airport and show them my ID, they might have a kind of second thought of like, oh, is this person actually who they say they are?
Right.
Just because of that one letter on the ID. And it's so...
pretty narrow thinking.
It's very narrow thinking, yeah. It's uncomfortable, and it's awkward, and it's messy, and it bars a lot of trans people from even just traveling. And that's, like, crazy to me that a lot of trans people just don't... they don't go out and see things and, like, do things just because they're scared of what might happen after hearing these, like, stories of these true events where somebody gets in trouble just because of this letter on their ID that they don't present as. Yeah. Very awkward.
And if you see gender as a process, then this brings up the whole nature versus nurture argument, which is another can of worms.
Oh, yes. That is another can of worms. Yeah, I'd say, like, there's some kind of correlation with nature and nurture and gender and whatnot. I think there's only a small aspect of one's gender that really, I would say, is nature. But your perception of your own gender is very much going to be affected by how you were raised and the environment you were around and, like, what kind of people you're in contact with and what you're really just, like, allowed to do as mm-hmm. well. It's always going to be affecting how you perceive yourself and how you express yourself.
Right.
So it's very much a nurture thing.
So back to the point that we talked about the last episode and how I said you had a really privileged upbringing mm-hmm. because your parents allowed you to do whatever you needed to do to be who you were, and they didn't try and force you into anything that wasn't you.
Yeah, no, I think my nurture was just being able to be who I needed to be, and I wasn't in any way really forced into a box at any point in time. So I'm privileged in the way that I get to express myself exactly how I need to be without that kind of trauma and hold back of not being accepted wholeheartedly. I get to feel more comfortable with myself just right off the bat if I change something.
Yeah.
I just know that I'm always going to have that kind of support, and it's great.
And that's the way it should be for everyone.
Completely agree. Yeah. What does intersex mean? Is a very common topic that gets brought up in the discussion around, like, trans politics or, like, identity, because I'm not a doctor. So I can't really give you the, like, exact medical terminology for what an intersex person is, but scraping the surface, it's just someone who doesn't really conform to any biological indicators of sex, such as, like, genitalia or chromosomes, and so they're just kind of put into this box as intersex people.
Which means not male and not female.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, not
if we're either gonna be a little binary bit of about
both.
This.
Yeah, yeah. A little bit of both or none of...
None
yeah.
of the above.
None of the above, yes.
There we go.
Both or neither kind of deal in my non-medical opinion. I think it's important to, like, acknowledge the existence of intersex people in discussions like this because it completely kind of just dismantles that idea that sex is binary. Because suddenly that sex is binary fact just falls apart. I've had experiences with high school teachers being like, oh, well, that's not really part of this discussion and that doesn't happen very often and it's not normal, so we're not even going to consider it part of the conversation. But that doesn't make much sense because it's a very big part of the population of people who are born intersex.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's completely, it's like saying that ginger people aren't real.
Yeah.
because we're talking about brunettes right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it completely dismantles that sex is binary idea. And even our genes have more than one or two genders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, scientifically,
yeah,
there's more than two.
Yeah.
And I'm always disappointed with people when they just dismiss it because they can't explain it. Or when they don't want to accept that this happens. I mean, the indigenous used to say that there were seven sexes, and they lived by that. And if you look at pictures, it's pretty clear that there were more than two sexes.
Oh, definitely.
So just dismissing it doesn't cut it.
Yeah. Tiptoeing around some very controversial terminology, but it's very dismissing and of other people's cultures, and it's just saying that this is our fact and this is our idea that we have about the world, so it must be true and everyone else's is wrong. I feel like it's important to have that kind of discussion where it's not two sexes right. for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it just, that argument doesn't make much sense in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. Agreed.
Okay.
Common terms. Let's talk about it.
You probably have heard us using different terminology about different people. We just went over intersex. And so here's some of the other terminology that will probably show up, but you're definitely going to interact with in the world. It is important to note that not all genderqueer people use or are comfortable with certain titles. Like how many will be offended by being ma'amed or missed or...
I hate ma'am.
Yeah, many do. Our basic normal, quote unquote, your average people will identify as cisgender, which is where you just identify as the exact sex and gender that you were born and identified as.
So that's me.
Yes.
Right.
And then there is heterosexual, which is just, you know, attraction to the opposite sex. Very common.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty common terminology that you will see. One thing I will note, cisgender is not a slur in any sense. It often gets misconstrued as one because a lot of people will use it in a negative context defensively. Not to say that those people are correct for saying, like, cisgender people are bad or using it in a negative connotation and light, but it is not in any way a slur and is just an identifier, just as transgender is. Speaking of transgender, more common nowadays there's transgender, and then the old terminology for transgender people, transsexual. It's kind of interchangeable. Some transgender people may be uncomfortable with the word transsexual, and some transsexual people just prefer it because it's more what they identify as and feel comfortable with and what they grew up calling themselves, things like that.
So can I ask you a question then?
Yes.
Is it appropriate when I meet someone to have that discussion and say, what terms are you comfortable with? So that I'm not saying things and just adding fuel to a fire that upsets them.
I feel like maybe not for the first conversation, but if you start to get to know them and you're still finding yourself confused on how they identify, because many people will offer that information up as you get to know them.
Okay.
And you don't ever really have to, but sometimes there's that question that you're still kind of confused. And then once you've built that relationship with this person, then I feel is an appropriate time to ask them questions like that, because it can be kind of invasive. And, you know, you really wouldn't want a stranger to be asking about, you know, I'd say it's okay if you've gotten to know the person.
Okay. So it's a little bit like that early conversation that you and I had where we got to know each other two or three visits. And then I said, I'm going to ask you a personal question. I hope you don't mind, but can I ask what your pronouns are? And remember, your response was, wow, that made me uncomfortable, but I was really happy that somebody asked.
Yeah.
Right?
It was a little bit like, I wouldn't say like outing, but it had that like, whoa, I got noticed kind of feeling.
And you don't want that happening the very first time I've met.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it does put me in a bit of a vulnerable position. And, you know, I have grown up with a lot of people asking me that question. And so I'm very used to it. But, you know, some people who have like just started their transition or are feeling kind of raw about it may not have as good of a reaction to mm-hmm. it, especially if it's the first time they've met somebody.
Good to know. Thanks, Laszlo. I appreciate your answering
no
that.
No problem. Going on with specifically gender terminology, not even delving into all of the sexuality stuff, I refer to myself as genderqueer, as does many people, and it's just more of a non-identification way to say that I am not cisgender, but I'm not handing you the information of, like, how I was born or what I identify as right now, because
no
maybe I'm confused about that myself.
Right, right.
And maybe I don't want to put myself in a box yet or something
right.
like that.
Or maybe you never will want to.
Yeah, and it can be a different reason for every person. It's whatever they prefer. Along with, like, kind of that umbrella of transgender and genderqueer, all of these kind of identities would be under that, like, trans umbrella.
Okay.
We have non-binary and agender. Which is, you know, non-binary is you don't really fit into that kind of binary. You could feel like you're both genders at the same time, or neither, or more leaning to one or the other.
Fluid.
Or somewhere on that spectrum. And then agender would just be a lack of connection to any of those aspects of someone's gender. Okay. And then, yeah, you mentioned gender fluid just now, and gender fluid is a whole identity that a lot of people go by, where it just fluctuates so consistently and so constantly that they never really feel like one title kind of fits them, and they just go by gender fluid because it's constantly changing and they're constantly feeling one way or the other. And then, like, of course, that isn't really something that you can decide for somebody. If you've noticed that somebody who refers to them as, like, a trans man is wearing a dress one day, you can't just suddenly decide, oh, well, they're gender fluid now.
Right.
It's up to them. It's up to them for to decide, and then you to just educate yourself on for that person and kind of get to know about them.
Would you say that's one of the most vulnerable genders that you could have? I mean, if you're fluctuating, people like to know, they like to have some consistency, they like to have control of things. And if they can't put their finger on somebody's gender, that must make people really uncomfortable. So if I was gender fluid, I think I would feel very exposed and very vulnerable all the time.
I think it is exposing very often. Like, you can never really fit into that box of, if I need to pass as a cisgender person for the moment, never really going to get that full kind of aspect of passing.
Right.
Because, you know, people are going to know that you looked like a girl yesterday, even though you look like a guy now. And so it does kind of have that vulnerability. But I wouldn't really say that they're more vulnerable than other trans people, just purely based off of the fact that anybody can find out you're trans.
Right.
And so it's not as risky, but just more self-exposing, I guess. Okay. And you're much more out there, and certain people might pin you more as a target just because you are so visually expressing different genders and so obviously on that gender spectrum. And so you might get a little bit more backlash for it, but yeah, I'd say it's the same amount of risk as like any other trans person.
Okay. It takes a lot of courage to live that life, doesn't it?
It definitely does. It's very exposing, very vulnerable on most occasions, and especially for younger people that are going through it, who might have to deal with, like, unsupportive parents on top of unsupportive other people. And it is, yeah, a very tough thing to have to deal with every single day.
But on the other hand, I mean, I can't speak for somebody who's fluid, but if I was fluid, there's so much freedom in that. You have lots of gender expression available to you.
Yeah.
If only you can find ways to do it that you don't feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I think how lovely to have fluid people in the world.
Definitely. I think that expression is definitely needed in the world. And it creates such creativity with people's expression.
Yes.
I so often see, it's insane. And like, when I say you look like one girl one day and a guy the next, I am not kidding. I have met so many gender fluid people who, one day they are up in a dress and makeup and look super, super feminine and so ready to present as a woman. And then the next day you see them, they have a beard and their hair is all short. And you're like, oh, but your hair was like medium long yesterday. And they just figured out how to style it to make it look cropped.
Wow.
And they have a whole completely different kind of wardrobe on, and they completely passing as a different kind of person. And I'm like, that's insane. It's like shape-shifting almost.
That's
awesome. So cool. It is so cool. It is so exciting seeing these people and like seeing all of that creativity that's out in the world and how people express themselves. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so awesome.
Star Trek, here we come.
Yes.
I mean, if there's a listener-supported radio station, that means that people can get
daily, every day, a different way of looking at the world. Not just what the corporate media want you to see, but a different picture, different understanding, but a different picture, a different understanding. Not only can you hear it, but you can participate in it. You can add your own thoughts, you know, and you can learn something and so on. Well, that's the way, people become human, you know. That's the way you become human participants in a social and political system.
Hi, this is Dave Harris of Bulky Valley Brewery and Smithers Grind. We have support with the show Suddenly I See You to open up conversations about a community that needs to have more conversation about it.
You are listening to Suddenly I See, a gender toolkit for the Smithers, BC area. I'm your host, Christine Bruce.
And I'm Laszlo Polgar.
In the first half of this episode, which we've entitled The Gender Reveal Party, we talked about gender as a factor of process and differences between biology and socialization in a gender process, and some common terms that you might hear, like intersex and genderqueer. Next up, how gender works in everyday life. So let's talk about how gender works in everyday life. Regardless of where you sit on the gender spectrum, as a fact or as a process, gender plays a big role in society. There are lots of resources on gender and biology out there, and I encourage you to pick up one or more to understand it better. This book, Gender, Your Guide, focuses more on the social aspects, what we can all do about language and various practices to make our community more welcoming and diverse. I'm really glad Lee brought us here through this discussion, though, because it made clear for me lots of things that I've never had to consider. I've always been a curious person, and I want to understand better so I can be a better friend or workmate or ally. Now, Laszlo, something that we've been talking about here, gender as factor, gender as process. Last episode, you said that gender is a construct. I want to go back to that, because if it's a construct, then why does any of this matter?
When I say gender is a construct, I very much mean gender is a social construct that people and as communities have kind of built up to create. A lot of things are based on gender, right? So it's kind of that social construction of what people are and how we express ourselves is that construct, I guess.
So is that so just messy. To make us more comfortable?
In a way, yes. I think it's like to make us more comfortable and give us more identifiers in a way for communicating and letting people know what kind of person we are.
But wait a minute, because if that's all it is, then why are we giving each other a hard time when we'd fall outside the limits of the boundaries that we've set?
That's why I even bring it up. Because why does it matter when people right? are hateful? And it's like, this is a social construct. This is something that we've created ourselves, and it's a philosophy that we've made up for ourselves. So why is it that we're mad when the reality of things is just not really matching up to that idea that we've given ourselves? It doesn't make much sense to me why we're upset about these things. And I think that there's something to be gained by questioning
yes.
how we perceive these topics. And maybe in some cases, we should accept that perhaps we are wrong about some things and how we've decided they are. Like, gender is stagnant and binary.
Well, yeah, I mean, my experience in the past 30 years is that I'm starting to realize gender is much more dynamic than I mm-hmm. gave it credit for. So here's a great example that I keep seeing over and over again. I'll be out in public and I'll see a man wearing nail polish. And my first thought is, wait, that's not right. But then I realized, well, why do I think it's not right? Why can't they wear nail polish? Obviously, they're comfortable wearing it, so why can't I be comfortable with them wearing it?
Right? It's that social expectation that a man shouldn't wear nail polish, and that's that construct of, like, men have to be this way and women have to be this way. And then if you're not fitting into that binary, well, then are you even a woman or are you even a man? And so, like, even cisgender people end up being affected by this kind of construct that we've made. It's not just trans people that are affected by this in their daily lives.
Right. So, really, what we need to do, maybe the homework today, is to start thinking, where am I limiting myself and others? Where can I be a little less structured about it and a little more dynamic in my approach to gender?
Yeah. I think for me, when I'm ever confused or approaching something that I've never really seen before, I ask questions. And sometimes that can be like not an appropriate thing, and you have to just kind of judge that as you're going along. It is hard, but it is very worthy and worth it to be asking questions about things that you might be confused in and about. And that can even just be asking questions to Google. You don't necessarily have to ask questions to this person that you're confused about. If you're catching yourself thinking about it often, then yeah, why not give some social media like a look through mm-hmm. and find different kinds of articles and people saying, giving out these ideas that you might not be used to seeing, right? Treating people with kindness and respect and really just kind of acknowledging that your experience might not be the only one that's kind of everyone's experiencing is very important. very important in these kinds of like...
Acknowledging differences, I think, is... And I heard a really great quote yesterday, and I can't remember who it was. Then they said something to the effect of, a mature person is someone who does better than yesterday.
Yes. Yes. I always think personal growth is... You can always push yourself to grow way faster than you think you would have just by questioning yourself. This sounds so bad, but questioning yourself at, like, every step.
Yeah.
Like, every step you should question yourself just a little bit and just make sure that that one is the right one.
Yeah.
And checking yourself and making sure that you're not hurting anybody or creating this kind of ideal in your mind that someone can't live up to, or really honing in on... That's not normal, and I don't like it because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a little bit scary seeing things you're not used to. But it's worth it to kind of immerse yourself in those differences and get accustomed to seeing people that are different. Because it's very important to be accustomed to people that are different, let me tell you that.
Yeah. It's a much more colorful and interesting world. And if we're not divisive, then we're stronger.
Definitely. I agree. I could not have... at all ended up the way that I am without just an insane amount of different cultures and ideals and groups of people and mindsets and thinking that I have interacted with throughout my life. Like, I would have not turned out at all the same if I wasn't given that kind of opportunity of just learning through finding things out about people,
right.
I suppose. And just kind of like questioning things about people.
Cool. Thanks, Laszlo.
No problem.
And that's it for this episode of Suddenly I See on CICK 93.9 FM in the Smithers, BC area. We hope you learned something cool. If you have questions or comments for us, we want to hear from you. You can call the CICK station at 250-847-8769 and leave us a message. Or you can email us at CICK_suddenlyic@gmail.com. And for now, we have a Facebook page called Suddenly I See, a Gender Toolkit for the Smithers, BC area. In the next episode, Laszlo and I will discuss how we all participate, both consciously and unconsciously, to get everyone to do gender as expected, and how we might all consider changing our expectations. See you in a couple of weeks, Wizzy.